Let's pray. Father, as we approach your word this morning, I just pray that you might open up our hearts and minds. I pray that we might commit ourselves to you, that you continue to mold us and shape us as the potter. In Jesus' name, amen. We have recently been spending our time in Matthew 5, immediately preceding the Beatitudes. We left off in Matthew 5:13, which says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man." In that verse, we're told by Jesus Christ that we are to be the preserving agents in a decaying society. In addition to that, Christ also speaks of the importance of our testimony and that we should guard our testimony. If our life doesn't match the words that we speak, our testimony then becomes useless. And as we move from verse 13 to verse 14, we find out that not only are we to be the preserving agent, but we are also to be the proclaimers of His truth. And in fact, here in 13 and 14, you could see that our mission to the world and to society is preserve and proclaim. Let's look at Matthew 5:14, if you'll read along with me in your Bible. Matthew chapter 5, the 14th verse. Christ says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Verse 14 says a lot about us, but it also says a lot about the world. He says, "You are the light of the world." So if we're the light, it means that the world is dark. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 3, starting in the 18th verse. We're only going to look at that first sentence in verse 14 today, "You are the light of the world," because I think that there's some important teaching as it relates to not only us as believers, but also some of the false teaching that is going on in the modern church today. John 3:18, Christ says, "He who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Earlier in Bible study this morning, we talked about the modern church growth movement. And the whole premise of the modern church growth movement is if you make things appealing, if you make things exciting, then lost people will come to the church in throngs saying, "Boy, we want to be a part of that." But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Evilness does not like the light. It's an age-old problem that the Christian church should have down by pat at this point. Think about it. Adam and Eve, they commit sin. What do? When God is in the garden? They hide. evil hates light. What do people do when they get off of God's path and are in egregious sin in their life? Does their church attendance go up or does it go down? It goes down. Evil hates the light. Turn with me to Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. Ephesians 2, starting in the first verse. It said, "In you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature children of wrath, just as others." So what were we before we met Jesus Christ? We were children of wrath. Children of wrath. We were in darkness. We were in evil. We loved evil. And one of the great false teachings is that we are all God's children. In fact, it didn't take very long before Pope Francis had this comment in the New York Times article titled, "With Blessing, Pope Shows an Openness to Other Faiths," had this comment: "Given that many of you do not belong to the Catholic Church, and others are not believers, I give you this blessing from my heart, in silence to each one of you, respecting the conscience of each one of you, but knowing that each one of you is a child of God." But that's not what the Bible says. Before you meet Jesus Christ, you are not a child of God. You are God's creation, but you are not His children. The only way that you can be a child of God is to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and adopted into His family. And I think it is absolute heresy 2 Sundays before Easter to stand up and tell a world that is dying and going to hell that they are God's children. They are not. They are at enmity with God, and they can only find satisfaction, they can only find peace, they can only find contentment through the blood of Jesus Christ. The world is dark. It loves darkness. If you're not a child of God, you are in darkness. You are a child of wrath. So, when you think about when you first met Jesus Christ, the day before, you are a child of wrath, you're evil, you're dark, you're not righteous. The Bible says that there's none that are righteous, no, not one. So one day you're in darkness, the next day you are in light. So how does that happen? Did you reform yourself? Did you rehabilitate yourself? Did you complete a list of do's and don'ts? Absolutely not. That's what the Pharisees believed. They believed that they could live a righteous life and find acceptance in the presence of God through their actions. Legalists today believe that if I live my life a certain way, then God will be happy with me. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're called out. And in fact, turn with me in the Gospel of John to chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And it's a very familiar story. It's the story of Nicodemus, a legalist. And in John 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, We know that you are a teacher, come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Let me ask you something. What did you have to do with your physical birth? Nothing. Right? What do you have to do with your spiritual birth? Absolutely nothing. That's what Christ said. He said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. I was saved in a revival service. Now, some people might say that because mom and dad took me to church, that I got saved. I know lots of people that their mom and dads took them to church and they hate anything about church. They hate Christianity. They hate church. They hate the Bible. Sitting in church does not make oneself saved. That doesn't have anything to do with it. You could say that you could figure it out from a logical perspective, that the Bible makes absolute sense and that you recognize the story of salvation. There's lots of people that know the Bible. I've known lost people that know the Bible better than I do. But that doesn't save them because they don't accept the gospel message. There are people today that actually teach the Bible that will tell you that they do not believe in the saving power of Jesus Christ. They're just up there teaching it as a historical account or say that it's a good book. If reading the Bible would save you, then there would be a lot more people that would be saved. See, it's God who saves. That's how we get from darkness into light. As we approach Easter Sunday, we celebrate the fact that in spite of ourselves, Jesus Christ saved us. We should be here every Sunday morning with the biggest smile on our face because we are saved in spite of ourselves. We are in God's presence in spite of ourselves. We are able to pick up His Word and read it in spite of ourselves. It is only through the power of God that we are in the light. Turn to 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently. With a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. See, the Bible says we've been born again. Born again. Unfortunately, that term became cliched over the last 30 or 40 years. Are you born again? But when you think about the implication of being born again, it's not the fact that you just walked down the aisle and said a few words and then got your ticket into heaven and then you didn't have to worry about how you lived your life. The implication is that being born again means that you're a new creature. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are new. That's what baptism symbolizes, that our old life has passed away, that we were walking a new life in Jesus Christ. See, it's just not a ticket into heaven. It shows that we are new through Jesus Christ. And in fact, if you look at John chapter 8, starting in the 12th verse, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." That's what salvation is. It's just not eternal insurance against the depths of hell. We're to walk in the light. That's what salvation is. It's not a one-time event until we go into heaven. It means that we walk with Christ. We walk in His light. Later on in John chapter 12, the Greeks are seeking Jesus at the Passover, right before the cross. And Christ says in verse 27 of chapter 12, says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Then he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. While you have the light, believe the light, that you may become sons of light. Jesus said in Matthew 5, we are the light of the world. See, my friends, your salvation just isn't so you might have peace and serenity knowing that where your eternal destination lies. Your salvation is so that you can glorify God in what you do and that you may be to the praise of His glory because you have been adopted into His family to be sons of light. It's not what we say, it's what we do. We are to be the preserving agent in society, and we are to be the proclaimers of His truth. That's our purpose. That's our mission. Our mission isn't one of which we can just be idle Christians. You'll never find that in the Bible. You'll never find where God calls us to be idle. We're to be ready. We're to work. We're to proclaim. Later on in that same chapter, in verse 44, Jesus says, "He who believes me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Should not abide in darkness. How many people do you know that are out there today proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? They say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. I went down the aisle when I was a certain age. I gave my life to Jesus Christ." And they've been living like a dog ever since. That's not salvation, my friends. That's not the power of the cross. That's not the indwelling of the Spirit. See, the Bible has called us to obedience. Our actions should match our words. God told us to be holy. He told us to live a righteous life. He told us to proclaim His truth. Turn with me to James. First chapter of James, starting in the 21st verse. He writes, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Look at any poll in America today and it will tell you that somewhere between 70 to 80% of Americans say that they're believers. If all of those people showed up on any given Sunday, we would not have seats in all of the churches in America to sit them all. That's sad. That's not the gospel. The gospel isn't just fire insurance. The Bible tells us that we are the light of the world. In other words, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit dwells inside of you and you are transformed. And we know it doesn't happen all at once. But there is a remarkable, or should be a remarkable, difference between a lost person and a saved person, because you have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have the indwelling of the Spirit. And the Bible says that God changes you, that you are a new creature, that you've been born again. And the world should look at you and say, there's something different about that person. They live their life differently. They speak differently. They act differently. They watch different TV shows. They read different magazines. They look at things differently. They have a different perspective in life. That's being light of the world. There should be a difference. Now, some people say that this light of the world means that you're going to go out and you're going to start door knocking and you're going to have the four spiritual laws. And that's great if God's called you to do that. But you should be light of the world wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. At work, you should be light of the world. With your neighbors, you should be light of the world. With your family, you should be light of the world. Every aspect of your life should be governed by the teachings and truths of Jesus Christ. It's just not something we say. It's what we do. And as we do, we proclaim our testimony. I've said it before, if you're not living it, you don't believe it. If you're not living it, you don't believe it. It is the truths and teachings of Jesus Christ that we look at and say, every other way that I've tried is invalid. It doesn't work. I end up in failure. I'm going to cast myself upon the teachings of truth of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to walk in His teachings. It's every single day until He comes back. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. So that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let those who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. We're not of the night. We're of the day. As a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should stick out like a sore thumb in certain places and circles with how you live your life. Your testimony should be evident to a world that is in darkness. And yes, the Lord comes as a thief in the night, but not for you and me. See, we're in the light. And as the world, just as in the days of Noah, made merriment until the end, we have a world that is making merriment all the way until He returns. But you and I, my friends, the Bible says the veil's been taken away. We read the Bible and we understand. We see world events and we understand. We see the evilness of man and we understand. We look at a church that is growing more and more apostate by false teachings, whether they're denying the resurrection, whether they accept gay marriage, whether they accept sexual sin among their congregation. And we look and we say, the day is getting closer. It's getting closer. Why? It's not because we're smart. It's not because we've figured something out. It's because we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the indwelling of the Spirit, and He has made us sons of light. That's the glory of salvation. That's the joy of salvation, that we can see and understand God and come into His presence with boldness. That's the wonderful thing as we get close to Easter. We've been saved, my friends, and by being saved, we have access. We have the indwelling of His Spirit. We have joy. And He has called us to be in the light, sons of light. And the question that I have to ask you this morning as we close, are you in the light? Are you proclaiming His truth? Do people recognize the fact that you walk to a different standard? That you're held to a different accountability? Are you, as the Bible says, peculiar? That's what we've been called to. And it's not because we did something right. It's through His grace, in spite of ourselves, He saved us. Will you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. Did you live this last week for you? Or did you live it for God? You've lived it for you. You're never, ever going to find peace and contentment. It's only when you totally surrender to the will of God that you find peace that surpasses all understanding. It's surrender. That's what Christ called us to do. He said if you wanted to be His disciple, that you have to pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Him. Did you deny yourself this last week? Did you live for Him? Did you seek Him? Or is Monday through Saturday about yourself and Sundays for God? If you're not living for Christ, right now, just let go. Repent of everything that you're holding on to and turn your life over completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, I just praise You. I praise You that You sent Your Son so that we might have life. I praise You that You called us out of darkness and that You called us in the light. And I just pray, Lord, that we might proclaim Your truth through a powerful testimony in each of our lives. I pray collectively that this church might be known as a body of believers dedicated to following You. I pray if there's someone here, Lord, that's not a Christian, that they would accept You. I pray that we might rededicate our lives to being a follower, to being in the light and proclaiming the light. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you this morning? Is He speaking to you?